The following message from Pastor Greg Laurie is made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God.
If you would like to know how you can become a Harvest Partner, just go to harvest.org. That's harvest.org. Sometimes things happen in life that are unfair and tragic, and we want an answer. I demand an answer. I want to know why.
It's the most common question when trial or tragedy strikes. Pastor Greg Laurie addresses our concerns.
We live on promises, not explanations, so we should not spend too much time wondering why. Instead of saying why, we should say who, as in who do I turn to? You turn to the Lord, because the Bible says He's the God of all comfort.
This is the day when the lost are found. This is the day for a new beginning. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Again you hear all the angels are singing. This is the day when life begins.
The world has been going through a hailstorm of crisis and calamity. Sickness, death, economic upheaval, uncertainty about the future. Hope may seem in short supply. But today on A New Beginning, we'll see it's only in short supply if we're going to the wrong supplier. Pastor Greg Laurie introduces us to a man who faced an epic challenge, but depended on God's provision to see him through. We learn to follow in his footsteps as Pastor Greg introduces this last day's believer.
The guy I want to focus on, well, everyone knows the story. His name was Noah. He was a last days believer because he was living in the time before the flood came. Why did the flood come? Why did God send judgment on the earth the first time? The answer is found in Genesis 6. I want you to turn over there if you would. Genesis 6, first book of the Bible. Genesis 6, 5. Gives us a description of the world in the days of Noah. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that every intent of his thoughts was only evil continually. You might underline that, only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry he made man on the earth and he was grieved in his heart. I'd underline that too. I'll come back to it. So the Lord said, I'll destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air. I'm sorry I made them. We'll stop there. What exactly was going on here on planet earth to bring God's wrath so heavily? Genesis 6:5 gives the answer. The Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every intent of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. And God said he's grieved. Now, it's interesting that the word grieved is used here in verse 6. You only grieve for those you love. You don't grieve when some random person cuts you off on the road. You get angry, maybe upset, but it doesn't grieve you. It grieves you when your child is disrespectful or goes astray or someone you love or care about says or does something that hurts you. You're grieved only by the people you love, right? So the fact that God uses the word grieve shows us that this is hurting the heart of God because he loves humanity. God takes no pleasure in bringing judgment on anyone. So then our immediate response is, well, then why does God send judgment? Okay, here's the answer. You ready? God sends judgment because he is loving and just. No. How could a God of love judge anyone? That's our default response. No, I'm telling you, God sends judgment because he's loving and just. Let me illustrate. Let's say that you had your small toddler playing in your backyard and suddenly a wolf appeared, climbed over your fence, fangs showing, and was running full speed toward your daughter, toward your child, toward your son. What would you do?
I would like love the wolf?
No. Kill the wolf, right? Stop the wolf. Why? Because you love your child. You love your child more than anyone or anything else. Or if they came to harm your spouse or harm someone you care about, you protect that bird. No, the wolf is our brother. No, the wolf is not your brother. The wolf's a wild animal, and you need to stop thinking crazy thoughts like that. All right, so Because you love your child, you protect them. You hate that which would harm your child. So in effect, you bring judgment. And so their wickedness was great. They just wouldn't stop. It just became more and more intense. But wait, did these people have an opportunity to believe? There was a news story out of Aaron Rodgers, quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. Apparently was raised in a Christian home, but he had some issues with his Christian faith. And he said in an interview, and I quote, "I remember asking a question as a young person about somebody in a remote rainforest." In other words, what if someone's, you know, isolated from everybody else and they've never heard the gospel? That's basically the way it's asked. They're in a rainforest or in a desert always for some reason. And he said, the response I got was, if you don't confess your sins, you're going to hell. And he says, and I said, what about the people that don't have a Bible readily accessible? Listen to this. God is going to judge people according to the light that they have received. But I suggest to you, we've received a lot more light than people realize. As an example, we have the light, if you will, of nature. Just the handiwork of God surrounding us, speaking of his power and his creative ability. I mean, to me, it takes more faith to say there's no God and this all happened randomly than it takes to say, I believe that there's a creator behind all of these things. Have any of you ever seen the Sistine Chapel? Raise your hand if you have. A few people, quite a few of you. Okay, pretty magnificent, right? Well, how did that even come to be? Well, we all know Michelangelo painted it. Took him a long time. What have I told you? Well, I don't believe a guy named Michelangelo painted it. I think there was a wagon full of buckets of paint. Somebody threw a stick of dynamite in it, and it blew up. I call it the Big Bang Theory. And the beautiful fresco on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel appeared. You think, what are you, crazy? Oh, you see that 747 over there? That wasn't created by the engineers at Boeing. I believe that there was a tornado in a junkyard, and that's the result. You would dismiss me as a lunatic, but yet we'll take something as amazing as creation or even the human body and say, well, it happened randomly. I have a hard time seeing that. I think it takes more faith to not believe than it takes to believe. Romans 1:18 says, God shows his anger from heaven against wicked people who push the truth away from themselves because he's put this knowledge in their heart. From the time the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky and all that God made, so they have no excuse for not knowing God. And by the way, at this time, earth was in much better shape than it is now. Now, if you go to a beautiful place like Hawaii, you see the handiwork of God in a sunset. People just sit out there and wait for the sun to set. It's just so amazing. That's something the Lord does for us. But at this time, historically, things were still in a quasi-Eden-like state. We were closer to God's original creation than we are now. So the power of God was on display. They had all of that. Number two, we have the testimony of conscience, or the light of conscience. Romans 2:14 says, even when non-believers who do not have God's written law instinctively follow what the law says, they show in their hearts they know right from wrong because God's law is written with them, in them, in their own consciences, accusing them or telling them what they're doing is right. So you say, what about the person who's never heard the gospel? Well, you have the testimony of nature and you have the testimony of your own conscience. You know instinctively what right and wrong are. And so many of us don't even live according to those dictates. Some will say, I don't like organized religion. What does that even mean? I don't like organized religion. Oh, do you like disorganized chaos instead? And what's your definition of organized religion? Praying a prayer, opening the Bible. I don't like anything organized. Okay. So what do you live by? I live by my own standards. I suggest you don't even live by your own standards. I think you break your own rules, so you make new rules up. And then you break those, don't you? So you have the testimony of nature, you have the testimony of your own conscience, and these people have the promise of a redeemer. God had revealed to Adam and Eve there was coming one who would crush the head of the serpent who had deceived them, and of course that was a reference to the arrival of Jesus. And fourthly, they had the people of the godly lives of Adam and Eve. Even though Adam and Eve sinned, they still walk with the Lord after this. So they had that testimony. And so God will judge you according to the light you have received. Point number three, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Genesis 6:8 says simply that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, does that mean God had grace on Noah because he lived a righteous life? No, actually, it's the reversal of that. The word grace means God's unmerited favor. Because he received God's grace, he responded to the grace that God extended toward him, he experienced it. God loves us and wants a relationship with us. So he found grace or favor in the eyes of the Lord. Look, the only way a person comes into a relationship with God is by admitting their own need. And that's hard for a lot of people. We don't want to say, I need God. I'm strong. I can do this on my own. Aaron Rodgers in that interview went on to say, you know, I think that Christianity is a crutch. Crutch? It's a whole hospital, man. I need more than a crutch. I need everything. I need every piece of equipment in that spiritual hospital. I have no shame in saying I need God. I'm not embarrassed to say I depend on God. We all should.
Pastor Greg Laurie will have the second half of his message in just a moment.
Hey everybody, Greg Laurie here. I want to tell you about a great way to hear God's word and worship with fellow believers, not only around the nation, but around the world. It's called Harvest at Home.
Millions are tuning in from all over the planet, and tens of thousands have made decisions for Jesus Christ. Why not join us?
You just go to our website, harvest.org. We have our weekend services there, of course, but we also have great ministry there every single day. Sometimes it's visiting a message from a Harvest Crusade. Another time it's a Q&A session we're doing. Maybe it's something my wife is doing for the ladies, and we even feature Christian films.
Movies such as Lost Boy, Pastor Greg's life story, Steve McQueen, American Icon, and Hope for Hurting Hearts with Jeremy Camp and Nick Vujicic.
All that and a lot more at harvest.org.
It's your resource for family enrichment and spiritual growth.
So join us for Harvest at Home each week at harvest.org.
Well, Pastor Greg is presenting a message today titled The World Changer at the End of the World, Part 1. Let's continue now.
Judgment was about to come. And I wonder if there's somebody here that has had a wake-up call lately. Something has happened in your life that's gotten your attention. Everything was going great, and then you got the call from the doctor, and everything changed. Everything was fine, then your wife, your husband, your boyfriend, your girlfriend broke up with you. Your dog even left you. But the cat won't leave for some reason. And you really want the cat to leave, and you wanted the dog to stay, even more than your girlfriend, frankly. But whatever it is, something's happened, or you've had a close brush with death. I think we've all had a big wake-up call in the tragic death of Kobe Bryant. I never met Kobe, but I saw him around town all the time. You'd see him, I saw him at 31 Flavors, I saw him at Barnes & Noble over at Fashion Island. He was usually with his kids. He was living around this area. And in fact, the Saturday night before he died in that tragic helicopter crash, he was with his kids at Fashion Island over at the Koi Pond there. And then Sunday morning, before he went on his trip, he went to church with his daughter. And but this is just such a shocking event. And why? Even if you're not a sports fan, it's shocking. Well, he's an iconic person. He's a person that's sort of in the public consciousness. We're aware of him. He's young. He's athletic. He's successful. And it jolts people. You know, an earlier generation, my generation, we were affected dramatically by the assassination of President Kennedy. It almost happened in real time before our very eyes. And in fact, the killing of Lee Harvey Oswald, the man who shot President Kennedy, happened on live television. So we're like watching this, trying to process it, and this guy who killed Kennedy, he's shot in front of our eyes. So fast forward to Princess Di, and that was a big event for that generation. I experienced both of those, and I think for a lot of younger people, it's like, wow, Kobe was only 41 years old. very successful, one of the greatest basketball players of all time, a living legend. And when we think of him and his daughter and the other passengers aboard that flight, we think, well, why did that happen? Why did they not get to go home that night? Why do others get to wake up in the morning? I don't have answers for that. But I think there's three things we should keep in mind when something like this happens. Number one, remember that life is precious. Life is precious. I have an Apple Watch right here. Funny thing with this crazy watch, it periodically says to me, breathe. It's like, I'm breathing. It's even said it to me when I'm like working out. Breathe. Like, what's wrong with you? But I think there's a good message there. Breathe, right? That breath you're trying right now, that's a gift from God. Because there might be someone in a hospital room struggling, hoping for that next breath. But I just breathe in, I breathe out. That's a gift from heaven. And I shouldn't take it for granted. Every day of my life is a gift from God. Every single heartbeat, it's a blessing. Don't take your health for granted. Don't take your family for granted. The Bible reminds us in Psalm 90, teach us to realize the brevity of life so we may grow in wisdom. Kobe was a very successful man with many beautiful things, but I'm sure he would have traded it all for another precious day of life. He was not given that choice. Don't take life for granted. Number two, don't ask why, ask who. Don't ask why, ask who. 11 years ago, our son Christopher was killed in an automobile accident. It was crushing, devastating. I wondered if I would even survive it. It was so massive for both Kathy and myself and our son Jonathan and Christopher's wife, Brittany. It was just life-altering. And it's like time stood still for all of us. And if words could have killed you, I mean, hearing certain information, that could have killed me. I felt like literally I could have died. It was so overpowering. But in my time of weakness, when I needed the crutch, I needed the hospital, I needed intensive care, and I called out to the Lord, and guess what? He was there for me. And he sustained me on that day and sustains us all to this day, because the Bible says he's the God of all comfort. Sometimes things happen in life that are unfair and tragic, and we want an answer. I demand an answer. I want to know why. If God told you, you wouldn't be happy. I mean, if the Lord said, all right, I'm tired of you asking why, I'm going to tell you why. Are you ready? Write this down. Okay, I'm ready. Ready? Here's why.
I don't agree with that.
You wouldn't like it. It wouldn't make sense to you, this side of heaven. We live on promises, not explanations, so we should not spend too much time wondering why. Instead of saying why, we should say who, as in who do I turn to? You turn to the Lord and you cry. And you cry. It's okay to cry. It's good to cry. In fact, you must mourn when you've lost a loved one. In fact, if you do not properly mourn the loss of a loved one, it can affect you in a very bad way. Because you cry out to God. You bring your pain to God. You bring your sorrow to God. And then the last thing is we must prepare. We must prepare. Life is precious. Don't ask why, ask who. We must prepare. Death is not a respecter of persons. It doesn't care if you're rich or poor, religious, or you have no faith at all. If you're famous, infamous, or not known, it knocks at every door. It'll knock at your door. It'll knock at mine. It's not the end, because there's an afterlife. We talk so much about this life, but the afterlife goes on forever. In fact, this life, the before life, if you will, is pretty short when compared to the afterlife. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, and whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. That is why Jesus died on the cross. You see, at the cross he defeated sin, but at the resurrection he defeated death. Death died when Christ rose. So my question for you is, are you prepared for the afterlife? I've told you the story before of a man who was walking through a graveyard. And he saw a tombstone. And on it were inscribed these words, "Pause now, stranger, as you pass by. As you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so you will be. So prepare for death and follow me." The man was overheard to say, "To follow you is not my intent until I know which way you went." Are you prepared for the afterlife? What if this were your last night on earth? Well, it won't be. How do you know? You don't know. No one knows. The Bible says it's appointed unto a man once to die, and then comes the judgment. God's appointed the hour. He doesn't reveal it to us. Frankly, I'm glad I don't know, aren't you? We don't know. It could be tonight. It could be 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, 70, 80 years. I don't know. God knows. I don't worry about that. But be ready. Be prepared. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. And then one day I'll stand before God. And the Bible says, and the books will be open, and a book will be open, which is the book of life. And the key is you want your name written in the book of life. How do you get your name written in the book of life? By believing in Jesus Christ. If you've put your faith in Christ and you've asked him to be your Savior and Lord, your name's in the book and no one's taken your name out of the book. You're good to go. But then there's the books. Books are going to be opened. And I wonder what's in the books. You know, the Bible doesn't say. Maybe one book is a book of all the times you heard the gospel and blew it off. Maybe another book is a record of how you had your own standards that you didn't even live by. Maybe another book is all the commandments you broke. I don't know what's in the books. But whatever it is, it's not real good. Because if you're even at this great white throne judgment, that's bad. But you don't have to be there at all. You see, Jesus died on the cross and he absorbed the wrath of God in your place so you don't have to deal with it. He died there for you. He, as I've said many times, he came to pay a debt he did not owe because we owed a debt we could not pay. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You can have this grace in your life because the Bible says, "For by grace you are saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast." You're not going to get to heaven because of all the good stuff you've done. You're going to get to heaven because of the sacrifice Jesus made for you on the cross. And you admitted you're a sinner and you turned from your sin and you believed in him. Then you can know, listen, you can know that you'll go to heaven. Do you know that right now? If not, why would you not want to get this resolved? Frankly, is there anything more important than that you could think of? Anything than where you'll spend eternity? And so I want to close with just an opportunity for anybody here, anybody watching, listening, wherever you may be, to make sure your name is written in the book of life, to put your faith in Jesus Christ. He stands at the door of your life and he knocks and he says, if you'll hear his voice and open the door, he will come in. If you've never asked Jesus to come into your life, you can do it right here, right now, and you can be prepared for the afterlife. And not be afraid of death any longer. So let's all bow our heads and everybody praying, Father, thank you for your word to us tonight. And I pray for any person here, or maybe they're watching or listening, wherever they may be. If they don't have a relationship with you, help them to come to you now, we pray. Amen.
Pastor Greg Laurie with an important prayer about entering into a relationship with the Lord. And if you'd like to make that kind of change in your relationship with God today, Pastor Greg will come back and help you with that before today's edition of A New Beginning concludes. If you missed any part of today's message, you can hear the study again online at harvest.org. Just look for the title, The World Changer at the End of the World, Part 1. Again, go to harvest.org. Well, we're so happy to have several special guests with us today. Pastor Greg's wife, Kathy, has joined us, along with authors Jay and Catherine Wolfe, who've written a powerful book of encouragement called Suffer Strong. It traces their journey through Catherine's health crisis, a near-fatal brainstem stroke a number of years ago. Everything changed in a moment. Her plans for her life, her view of herself, her role as wife and mother. Pastor Greg?
You know, I think of young girls,
Catherine, who their whole life is, you know, wrapped up in social media, how many likes they get on their post on Instagram or Facebook, and you know, and you are, and of course you were a beautiful girl, and you
Thank
still
you.
Are, but I think an inner beauty has come out that is even a greater quality. But you were a model, actually, and you had a career, and now everything's been redefined. So what would you say to maybe someone who's what we might call somewhat obsessed with their image, the way they look, and they're living primarily in that world of social media? What would you say to them about what really matters in life?
The instant thing that comes to my mind is that this body is so temporary.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So much of our just enormous issues with beauty, because no doubt she may be obsessing in a way that she looks awesome, but probably she's obsessing because something's not picture perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is we all got a bag of beauty issues, major issues with our appearance, and so much of the freedom that God is longing for us to receive from Him is a deep ability to walk away from the shame that we all feel about things that we internalized that somebody said when we were 6 years old, and we've taken it to our teenage years, or, you know, that cycle of shame is so powerful. And so I think perhaps one of the things God has called me to disrupt in life, I feel like there's a number of them. One of them would be that any appearance equals a version of ecstasy and joy and all the good things, because that's so ridiculous. I think some of the most unhappy people in the world are the most beautiful people in the world.
Mm. It's very interesting. I'm thinking about my 14-year-old granddaughter, Riley, and her little world of junior high, which is very much centered in on outward appearance and beauty and acceptance and love that comes through other people when we have that beautiful Instagram post, or that their satisfaction and their worth is being derived from something that they cannot control.
Yeah.
And I love what you wrote when you said, while I look in the mirror and often don't love what I see, with each passing year, I long for the kind of beauty that is ultimately produced only by a divine love that heals, refines, and makes me whole. And there's a love that is higher and deeper and more lasting and abiding. And I think that what you display, Catherine, and what I'm hoping for all of our listeners today, and myself as well, is to discover that ultimate love that we are really hungering and thirsting for. It can never be satisfied with however many followers you might have on Instagram, or however beautiful, if you have the right tennis shoes or the right hairstyle, that all of those things are transient and fading. But the thing that lasts is the love that God gives us, the worth that He places on us.
Mm-hmm. The obsession with self keeps us from really seeing a world that so needs the hope of Jesus.
Amen.
And it's almost like in having a stroke, I was freed a bit to have the kind of the push and fuel I needed.
Wow.
To, by sitting me down in a chair, the Lord somehow fueled me to more throw off things that hinder and live for what matters.
Wow, beautifully said, Catherine. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Catherine Wolfe, right next to her wonderful husband, Jay. And they've written a new book called Suffer Strong, subtitled How to Survive Anything by Redefining Everything. And we're offering this to our listeners this month for your gift of any size, so we can continue to come your way with the teaching of the Word of God and the proclamation of the gospel.
Yeah, that's right. It's the kind of encouragement we each need when we're facing one of life's seemingly insurmountable trials. And so many have faced that in recent weeks, haven't they? Maybe you faced that kind of challenge. Well, this is practical how-to encouragement about how you can not only survive the trial, but thrive in spite of it. And we'd like to send you Suffer Strong to thank you for your investment in this daily study opportunity. That investment will be used to encourage you and someone else here in your community. What better time to invest so we can all bear up under the trials before us? Ask for Suffer Strong when you write A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or call 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. Or go online to harvest.org. And then, Pastor Greg, just before we go, would you mind praying with the person listening who wants to make a change today in their relationship with the Lord?
I'd be happy to, Dave. You know, as you've been listening to this today, maybe you've heard another voice. By that I mean, yeah, you heard me say a few things, but you heard God's voice speak to you deep in the recesses of your heart. And it suddenly dawned on you, this is what I need. Or to state it more accurately, this is who I need. I need Jesus and I want Jesus, but maybe you don't know how to make that connection. Let me help you. Pray this after me right now if you want Jesus Christ to come into your life. Lord Jesus, I know I am a sinner and I am sorry for my sin and I need your forgiveness right now. Would you come into my heart, my life as Savior, as God, as friend? I choose to follow you from this moment forward. Thank you for calling me and accepting me and forgiving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I know that was a relatively short prayer. Maybe you felt something as you prayed it. Maybe you felt nothing. That doesn't really matter because God's word says, these things we write to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. It doesn't say, so you may think you have it, or you may hope you have it if God's in a good mood. No, that you can know it. And I want you to know, if you pray that prayer in a minute, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has come into your life. So congratulations. You're now a Christian. Now continue to follow the Lord.
Yeah, and to help you, we'd like to send you some resource materials we call our New Believers Growth Packet. It'll answer many of the questions you might have and get you started in your new relationship with the Lord. So get in touch and ask for it. We'll send it free of charge. Write A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or call us at 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. Or go online to harvest.org and click on Know God. Well, next time, more insights from the life of Noah about living wholeheartedly for God, no matter what's going on around us. Good insight coming next time on A New Beginning.
The preceding message from Greg Laurie was made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Sign up for Pastor Greg's free daily email devotions at harvest.org.